Holiness of the Lamb be with you. And one of the great gifts you get in life is friendship. And it's my great privilege today to introduce one of my best friends, a best friend that I met when I was in St. Andrews, Scotland. And he's a good friend of actually Karis, too, at Despondent University. So if you want to talk to him about Karis, you can do that, too. But Dr. T. Gatewood is the senior pastor of Arbordale Presbyterian Church in Banner Elk, North Carolina. He's come to us from the mountains of the South to be with us up in the changing colors of the North. He's also giving a lecture at 4 o'clock today in Graves Hall called The Road to Intimacy. But first, he's here to preach the Word of God. Would you give a warm Hope College welcome to Dr. T. Gatewood?
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Well, it's a gift to be here, and I'm going to be reading to you from the same story you have been hearing. So if you want to turn in your pew Bibles to Genesis 27, that's page 20, you can read along, or you can sit back and listen to God's story at one of its moments of great intrigue. So read and listen with me to God's Word. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am. See, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go into the field and hunt some game for me. Then prepare it for me, savory food such as I like, and bring it to me to eat so that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me savory food to eat, that I may bless you before the Lord before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and get me 2 choice kids so that I may prepare from them savory food for your father, such as he likes. And then you shall take it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to his mother, Rebekah, "Look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man of smooth skin. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let the curse be on me, my son. But only obey my word and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared the savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put on the skins of a kid on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed him the savory food and the bread she had prepared for her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn son. I have done as you told me. Now sit and eat some of my game so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me favor." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went up to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like the brother Esau, and so he blessed him. He said, "You are really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it to him, and then he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And then the father, Isaac, said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and lots of wine. Let people serve you and the nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. And cursed be everyone who curses you. And blessed be everyone who blesses you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. God, this is a moment in your great story, and we are seeking to live in that same story by the power of your Spirit with your Son, Jesus. So may the Spirit that inspired your history with your people, that inspired the writing of this story, inspire our time together so that we might know you as our Father, love you as our brother, and be filled with your Spirit. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior, and together say, Amen. Right before I had the life-changing experience of meeting Trygvi, my wife and I went to Nicaragua for 3 months. We were there with Young Life hosting short-term mission groups. And after we had been there about 8 weeks, we got a break and we went to see Ocean's 11. It was a nearly perfect cinematic experience. It was a nice theater. The popcorn was affordable, and it was a great movie. And what I loved most about the movie was the sustained sense of intrigue. Even though I knew what was going on, I couldn't predict how the movie was going to end. Even though I knew Danny Ocean was deceiving the bad guys, I was deceived. George Clooney's character, as you probably know, in the end pulls it off. He and 10 of his friends rob these 3 Las Vegas casinos, and he walks away. He walks away with the money and the girl. Well, the story we just read, the story of Jacob stealing Esau's blessing, is in many ways a similar story. It's a story of intrigue. At the heart of the story, there's an act of deception. It's a story of a conniving mother and a deceiving son who steal the blessing of God. Just like Danny Ocean, the little guy is trying to pull off something that seems impossible. How can you fool your father into thinking that you are the older brother? And then more curious, how can you deceive to receive the blessing of God? Well, I don't know how Jacob does it, but he does it. He walks away with the blessing. And at this point in the story, we know that he gets it all. He gets the blessing of the birthright and the blessing of abundance. Now, I don't think the writers of Ocean 11 were copying Genesis 27. The similarities between Jacob and George Clooney's character are probably not intentional. But there is within God's big story an intentional repetition of dramatic moments and motifs. So as a result, there are disasters, dilemmas, character traits, and roles that appear again and again from Abraham all the way to the apostles. Our story today works within that big story, and it works within this dynamic of repetition. And so if we read it, and as we read it as Christians in light of who Jesus is, we're invited to have a deja vu moment. We're invited to have this moment of seeing something and seeing it again and wondering, what in the world is God up to? What I'm suggesting is that Jesus and Jacob are intimately related. The one reverses the history of the other. Jesus follows Jacob. Jacob prepares us for Jesus. But it's not because they are similar. It's because they're dissimilar. Think about this just for a second. Jacob deceives to get the blessing for himself, while Christ is the truth to get the blessing for others. Jacob is blessed and his brother is cursed, while Jesus is cursed so that his brothers and sisters might be blessed. Again, Jacob grasped after what God promised him in the womb, while Jesus waits to receive what he was promised before the foundation of the world. Or if we had kept on reading, we would discover that Jacob deceives to become the ruler of his brother, while Christ blesses by becoming the servant of all. But there's one particular point of dissimilarity that I would like us to ponder. How does Jacob ultimately deceive his father? To complete the heist, he puts on Esau's clothes. He puts on skin. And he does this so that he can pass the test of touch. This is the exact opposite of what Jesus Christ does. Jesus puts on our skin to save. He speaks to the Father to draw us in, not to keep us out. He comes into our life and walks in our shoes to experience the chaos of the world. Out of love and compassion, tenderness and grace, the Son of God became a human. He didn't put on a skin suit to save himself or to satisfy himself. Instead, he was born as an ordinary person and lived in the same world that you and I live in. He made it his own for the redemption of the world. He put on skin to bless and give, to save and to restore. Jacob, on the other hand, got inside of Esau's life, inside of his clothes, and lied and was disobedient. In this tension, in this dramatic moment where we see the story of God repeating itself, we are invited to hear the good news that Jesus comes before the Father in our skin, that he goes to God wearing our clothes to receive the curse so that we might receive the blessing. This is the miracle of our salvation. Jesus didn't do what Jacob did. He doesn't speak for his own good. He doesn't grasp after the blessing, and history does not repeat itself. He takes up our skin. He takes our place, as he takes Jacob's place, to save us instead of saving himself. So, as students of Scripture, as the people of God, when we read God's story, when we find ourselves in it, and we have this moment of deja vu, we are invited to stop being little Jacobs. Or in other words, we're invited to stop dressing up and playing games. We don't have to dress up and act like other people. We don't have to put on the clothes of pride or vanity. We don't have to fool ourselves or others. We can, as God's people, instead put on the royal robe of Christ and realize that Jesus comes to us and goes to the Father with our skin on so that we might put on his glory. Let us pray. God, we need to see your face, we need to hear your story, and we need to find our place in what you are doing. So I pray that as these students, as this family of faith reads Genesis and tries to follow you, that they would see your son walking through its story, walking through their lives, meeting them and drawing them deeper and deeper into your love. Help us to see the way that the story leads to his life, to the moment where he puts on our skin to save us from ourselves, to save us from deception, so that we might live into the truth. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and your spirit so that we might live within that story, walking with your son, entering into your blessing. In Christ's name we pray and say, amen.